Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Good morning, great day, great day, great day. Always a great day. Yep. Don't forget, every day is a great day. You know, I said something at our online midweek service yesterday, and that's the fact that you should not just describe your day, you should define your day. Don't just describe it. Don't just, oh, how was your day? Oh, well, it didn't go well. Oh, well. Okay, so yes, you might need to, at certain points, give some level of description depending on who it is you need to answer or what it is you need to say. Yes. I'm not saying don't answer anybody at all. I'm saying at the end of it all, don't end with a description, especially if it didn't go the way you wanted it to go. Define it. Define. Bible says all things work together for your good. So it didn't go well, but it is working together for my good. Define. Set a course to it. Right, put a direction to it. Don't just describe. Mark 11:23 says we have whatever we say. So if we have whatever we say, then don't just say what you currently have. You don't want what you currently have to remain. All right. So since you don't want what you currently have to keep staying, say what you want to have and replace what you currently have. Did you get that? Maybe I'll say it again. All right. Mark 11:23 says you have whatever you say. Okay. So if you don't want what you're currently experiencing, then stop enforcing it by saying it all the time. Things are not going well. This lockdown is not paying me. Hope I'll not die in this whole process. I can faint too. I don't even know I'm going to survive. You're describing your current situation and you're even giving expression to your fears, all right? But that's not what you want to experience, is it? No. You want to experience supply. You want to experience favor. Even if everything doesn't go, ooh, wow, hey, plenty. But you just don't want to lack the basic necessities, right? Then say it. We have what we say. So say what you want to have, not what you're currently having or currently experiencing. So don't just get busy describing the situation. Don't just get busy describing the moment. Define it. Set a direction to it. Is that clear? All right. Set a direction to it. Proverbs 18, chapter of Proverbs, then the 20th and the 21st verse. 20 says a good man. All right. Okay. So I'm mixing two things together. All right. So Proverbs 18, all right. 20 says a man, right, out of the abundance of his lips, his belly will be filled. All right. And then the 20th verse now says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, all right? So you find out that the use of our words will bring satisfaction to our lives, all right? Proverbs 18:20-21, all right? That from the fruit of our lips, you satisfy your life. And then there's power in the words of your mouth. I know we know 21 more than we know 20, but get used to both. Basically, they are still asking us to describe our day, all right? So I'll leave in the hands of Eben, Jesus, how I love you. In the next maybe 2-3 minutes, and then I will be right back. So, see you soon.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Beautiful song, beautiful song, beautiful song. All right, so we are dealing with the powerful, wonderful, great topic of meditation. All right, so this is life-changing. All right, this is super, super life-changing. So yeah, today we're digging in deeper. So I believe we're a bit clear. It's a topic we could deal with for months. I believe we're a bit clear on meditation, imagination, meditation on worry, meditation on confession, meditation on prayer. All right, meditation and memorization. All right, so we're still, like I said, yesterday's episode, we're going to deal a bit more with meditation and confession today. And then, of course, the worry part, I believe it's clear. If you can worry, you can meditate the same way you think. Because people say, oh, but I don't know how to meditate, but do you worry? Yes, so you meditate. It's basically thinking deeply about something. Basically thinking deeply, deeply. You're thinking, huh? How's it gonna be? How's it gonna be? What's gonna happen? How's it gonna be? How am I gonna survive? How am I gonna do it? The same way when you think, oh, how am I gonna survive? Oh, okay, well, I don't know, but the Lord said He is my shepherd, so He is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. So you switch, you switch, you switch, you switch. Jesus made it claim, Matthew chapter 6, how do you think that by worry you will add one cubit to your lifespan? That is a classic question forever. How do you think that by worry you would add a cubit to your lifespan? He's not asking you not to think through processes. He's not asking you not to think through difficult situations. He's not asking you not to strategize or to plan. He's simply saying, do not worry. He's simply saying, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. So what do I do? You fill your heart, all right, with God's word. You fill your heart with God's word. Don't forget Isaiah. He keeps in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. If you stay your mind on the problem, it gets bigger. it gets magnified. If you keep your mind on God and His assurances to you, then they get clearer, they get stronger, they get more entrenched into you. So keep your mind there, because you almost wonder, but the problem is getting bigger. No, your focus on it is getting sharper. The problem isn't getting bigger. Before, the problem was, God was. All right, so now that the problem is, God still is. The issue is your focus. Remember Peter when he walked on water? So there was already a not too comfortable situation on the sea when Jesus showed up, all right? They were already not being able to move freely because of the wind that was already blowing. So the wind was blowing. So Jesus tells Peter, come. Peter, focusing on Jesus, began to walk on water. Suddenly, he takes his focus off Jesus to the wind. But the wind had been blowing when Jesus spoke. But he keeps his focus. So the issue is not the situation or the problem, but where your focus is. If you focus on lack this season, it will get bigger. If you focus on insecurity, it will get bigger. If you focus, on a lack of supply, I don't know what to do. If you build thoughts of confusion, listen, it will get so bad, your eating and sleeping will be seriously affected. And you will be like, it's getting worse. Nothing is getting worse. Your focus is getting sharper. You are zeroing in. You are becoming like, what do they call those people? Yeah, you're becoming like a sniper. You now have your red dot, your finger, you are ready to pull. You've zeroed in on the thing. Your focus is on it. But that amount of energy we put on things, we put on problems, we put on situations, that amount of time we give to checking the news every day. So how many people have contracted COVID-19? How many confirmed cases? How many dead? That amount of time you put every day is meditation time. What I mean is you are meditating. Listen, meditation works with the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate. That's what most of us spend doing many things with at the moment. You have gates. Check your gates. Because all these gates are entrances to your heart. So I wonder why we want to give ourselves so much issues by weeding all the time. You plant it, you weed it. You plant it, you weed it. But, I just got ahead of myself. So let's take it poco a poco, all right? Now, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, all right? God clearly tells Joshua, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. I'll take it one more time. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, it means you put the word in your mouth, all right? That's number one. Number two, he now says, meditate day and night. Last point is, he says, you will make your way prosperous. One, it says, that means God has granted you prosperity, but you by meditation will make that prosperity visible. You by meditation will make that prosperity evident. It didn't say God will make your way prosperous. You will make your way. And I've come to understand that there's nothing anybody says is impossible or can't be done that meditation will not pull through. Why? In you meditating, you are engaging the power of God. So question is, what really is difficult to God? I know your answer will be nothing. If nothing is difficult to God, nothing is difficult to meditation. I'll say that again. If nothing is difficult to God, nothing is difficult to meditation. Why? Because in meditation, you are bringing in God. How? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So you pick what God has said, His word, which is Him, and then you bring it into the situation. You just brought God in. So if nothing is difficult to God, then nothing is difficult to His word. Don't forget Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will prosper in the thing I sent it accomplish whatever it is I please. That is the power of the word of God. That therefore is the power of meditation. So God tells you, shall keep this word. You will be successful if you only keep this word going in you day and night. You will be successful. You will make your way. Oh, they said there's no way I'm going to get a good job. Oh, they said there's no way I'm going to have a baby. Oh, they said there's no way I'm going to do this. They said there's no way I'm going to go. Listen, sometimes there's, don't bother to pray. You know, I remember a dear man of God, Bishop David Erepo, you know, he said he came home, you know, no, two stories I'm about to mix up together. One was, I think the devil told him, listen, you know, your wife is not going to get pregnant, or maybe you know, him first. I think him, he will not be able to have a baby. You know, you're impotent. But I said, devil, I will not even pray about it. Then there was this case where he came back home. I think he went on a journey preaching somewhere. And then the wife said, I just had a miscarriage. And he said, woman, go and get my food. And he said, he didn't bother. You know, sometimes you pray, let's pray about it. Oh, and prayer is correct. We need to pray. You should be sensitive enough to pray or to know when to pray. But the thing most people do not understand, and that's the issue here with prayer and confession. All right, I believe in prayer. I believe in confession. So if you don't listen, what I say, he's not believing in confession anymore. Oh, he's not believing in prayer. No, I'm saying we are not dealing with the core area, the heart. Your confessions are not powerful when they don't come from your heart. So you have a lot of believers saying, but why did that thing go wrong? What went wrong? And she's always quoting Psalm 91. He's always quoting Psalm 91. What happened? Psalm 91 might be in their lips, but maybe it was never in their heart. Because a word does not fail. The word cannot fail. If you say the Lord is your shepherd, then you should not lack supply. Even in the drought. Not because you are praying, but because your heart is full. Listen, on the basis of prayer, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. So you realize that the importance of God's word dwelling in your heart is there to make prayer effective. John says in 1 John also, chapter 5, 14, 15, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So prayer is not effective without a proper understanding or indwelling of the word, number one. And then when it comes to confession, it is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks better. Question, how many times did Jesus speak to the fig tree? You know the answer, once. Next question, how many times did Jesus speak to the storm? You know the answer, once. How many times did Jesus speak to Lazarus? You know the answer, once. So we speak, and then we speak it like 1,000 times. And that's why I made it clear that the first level of your confession or meditation is working on you, not on the situation. So you just want to say, oh, in Jesus' name, oh, in Jesus' name, oh, in Jesus' name. And then people get tired of confessions and say, it doesn't work. No, it's because you've turned it to a formula. So I said it for 3 days and it didn't work. Or I said it for 5 days and it didn't work. You've turned it to a formula, something you've not come to understand. Your mind must be renewed first. Because it is going to come from a fullness inside of you. It will change you, change the situation. It will change the situation. But it wants to change you also. All right. So I have this lingua. Just things I get to use, you know, my own, you know, way of expressing meditation. So I would just introduce them quickly. All right, but, okay, so we'll do Psalm 1 first. All right, Psalm 1 from verse 1 to 3 says, blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, all right, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he will meditate day and night. He shall be, that man will be like a tree. Verse 3 now. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He will bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also will not wither. Anything he does will prosper. Did you get that? Whoever spends time meditating day and night will have ever increasing prosperity. Whoever spends time meditating day and night will have ever advancing wealth. Anybody who spends, listen, even when they say it can't be done, whoever spends time meditating, Bible says he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He will bring forth his own fruit, not in his neighbor's season. So when will I get married? When will I get married? You will bring forth your fruit of marriage in your own season of marriage. When will my baby come? When will my baby come? You will bring forth your fruit of baby in your season. Hey, but my season has passed since. No, the season can now be reprogrammed by meditation. Oh, hallelujah. Reprogrammed. You can reset it. No matter what anybody has said, you can reset it. Listen, people pray and get tired of prayer. Oh, I'll tell you this very beautiful story told by Kenny Hagin. So there was this young lady, you know, she walked up to him in a meeting and then she said, oh, thank you for the word. I've been so blessed. And, you know, and he just said, oh, praise God. You know, he and his wife are listening. Oh, yeah, praise God. You know, she said, he doesn't understand the impact or import of what she's saying. She said, listen, I had a clubbed feet, all right? Her feet was twisted, all right? She had a clubbed feet. And then she had prayed and, you know, be prayed for. And she got tired of praying. She was fed up. So she didn't want to pray anymore. So the church she attended back then, the pastors, Papa and Mama Goodwin, gave her one particular Kenny Hagin tape, one. And they told her, listen to this consistently. You don't even need to bother. Oh, pray. Listen, people get, I'm sure some of you listen to me now. You're tired of praying. I'm not praying. I'm fed up. I've given up. So leave prayer. Just pick the word. Listen to what I'm saying in this series, please. So she listened to that same tape for 6 straight months. She still did not release her faith. She listened to the same tape, one tape, 6 months. Her clubbed feet, her twisted feet switched back by itself. Oh, hallelujah. By itself. So you need to understand the importance of implanting the word. It will reprogram the season. I just told you, whatever is not impossible to God is not impossible to meditation. Why? Because meditation is you bringing God on the scene. I said, but I thought that was what prayer is supposed to do. But if you don't pray right, then you miss it. You have not because you ask not, and then you ask because you don't get because you ask amiss. So you can miss it in prayer if you don't pray without knowing, if you pray without knowing the word. So go straight for the word. Go straight for the word. All right. So day and night when it comes to meditation is not morning and night. So it's not, so I did it 10 minutes in the morning, then I'm doing it 10 minutes at night. Day and night means day, daytime. Day for the Jew is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Night for the Jew is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. the next morning. It's saying as long as you are rocking your day, keep this word in front of you, baby. Keep it in front of you. Yes, by structure, you could say, okay, I do this amount of time at this point. I do this other amount of time at that point. It's wonderful, but listen, keep your day going. Which is what we also do with prayer. I'm done with my devotion. I said all the right things, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and all of that. And then I say all the other junk. I say all the unbelief and all the no. You've neutralized most of what you likely said. Same for meditation. Keep the word in you. If it's Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. Yes, you've done a 10, 15, 20-minute block down time. You said it, you taught it, you said it, you pictured it, you said it, you said it, you rejoiced, you said it, you said it. As the day is going on, don't forget, let it not depart from your eyes. How would it not depart from your eyes? It means you kept thinking about it. Because the more you think about the pictures, they keep coming to you during the day. Even when you're with friends, when you're watching a movie, when it just keeps coming, you have it in your mind. It's there during the day. Something is happening to you. So day and night, I needed to, you know, say that because I've not had to say that throughout the series. Day and night is during the day, during the night. All right. So you don't do, I've done it, my 10 minutes confession and then all the junk. Society is not. Yeah, everybody's insecure. We don't even know what's happening. Everything's just happening. Something's just going. You're doing some damage. So don't do that anymore. Is that all right? So I have these words. I get to use these phrases. You know, I did a post sometime. Was it last year? And I put some of them there. I did a post on meditation. And put some of these words there. All right. One is that I view meditation as a juice extractor. All right. So what's a juice extractor? So I have orange. All right. Then of course, you know what it is. And then we squeeze out the juice. All right. It helps us to extract the juice. So meditation happens like a solid juice extractor. So I pick a verse or a portion of scripture, a couple of verses, and then I'm reading through. And the more I think through them, the clearer they become. And that's even happened to me lately. I'm in a portion of the Bible, which is Galatians 3, that I've preached like every year, read like every year for how many years, God knows how many. And I still saw something there. I'm like, And then, you know, so I'm not just talking of, and most of us need to be, you know, especially if you're a preacher, don't just get carried away. Wow, Rev, latest thing to go and share. You know, apart from telling my wife what I saw, I'm not sure I've said it to anybody. You know, you say, well, you're on lockdown, so it's your wife that is with you. Yeah, but you guys are with me, or I'm with you talking every day. I could have quickly, man, I got to share this thing. So, you know, there are loads of you hearing this every day. And I've not been tempted to share that yet. Because I am meditating on it. I'm extracting the juice. That's why you could read the word for, I mean, you wonder why is Pastor Davis reading his Bible every day? Because there's so much juice in it. There's juice. And it's not like because you're looking for, there's Rev. I'm looking for the latest Rev. No, it's just you going into the word. It extracts juice. You begin to see verses you've never seen before. Things begin to come alive. Things begin to come alive. Things begin to come alive. So that's a level of meditation that is important. You read a chapter, if that's how you run your day, you read a chapter. Think through the chapter when you're done. All right? Think through the chapter while you're on your way to work. Think through the chapter. While you're doing that, you find that certain verses will start coming out. All right? They come out to you. Pick those verses. Take note of them. Think through those ones some more. Think through them some more. Light will start coming upon them. Oh, this is what he said here. Oh, and you will be observing to do. Instructions will come out. Things to do will come. You will be observing to do according to what is written there. You'll see, oh, this is what I've been missing. I didn't see this part before. Oh, this is what I didn't get. You're extracting the juice from it. You're getting this, right? You're extracting the juice from it. You're thinking through the verse. It's coming alive. And you could think through the same verse for like a week. You could think through the same verse for like a month. You could think through the same verse for a very long time. Just keep thinking through. All right, so that's a juice extractor. Now there's the gusher. So what is a gusher? All right, a gusher is when you are looking for maybe water now, or maybe they are digging for oil, all right? And then they dig, they dig, they dig, they dig, they dig, and then they hit the water bed and out it comes. I've come to understand the place of meditation as hitting a gusher too. All right, hitting a gusher, because you think through God's word, you're thinking on it, and it's as if it's not making sense. Have you been there before? I mean, you know Mark 11:23, or you know 1 Peter 2:24, and then by stripes I'm healed. You just said it, and it looked like nothing. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. You know that feeling of, dear Lord, who told me to do this thing? It's boring. Keep at it. You know, you're still hitting. You're hitting the dry ground. Your digger is having a hard time. You're sweating under the hot sun. Hope you understand my figurative, you know, talking. And then you're doing, none shall be barren. Oh, none shall be barren. None shall be barren. And then it's dry. It's tiring. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack. It's tiring. Keep at it. Listen, Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, Bible says, Jesus for the joy. We looking unto Jesus, right? The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. And that's one key for breaking through this dry season in meditation. That's a key. That's how God helped me. All right. All those moments of how it is tiring, you know, you doze off, you wake up, time has still not gone. Stay there. Set in front of you that thought of, listen, this is my end point. So shall God's word be that it will not return to him void. So if I meditate on my baby, I will stay here till my baby comes. I will stay here. You are staying on it. Hey. Sometimes it might be 3 days on some matters. It might be 2 weeks on some matters. It might be three. You will hit that bill on your own. You will know I hit something. I hit something. This word is coming alive. It's coming alive. It's coming alive. Hallelujah. I hit something. You will know you just hit something. All right. So tomorrow I'll talk a lot more about this. So the next that we're moving now into a lot more practicals on meditation, because the last one is the guarding principle. All right. So the gusher, the juice extractor, the guarding. You will love this. All right. So I believe that you have been blessed. You have been blessed. Listen, keep having a great day. Keep defining and not just describing your day. Just have an awesome day. All right. Believe that the Lord is your shepherd. Believe that He is your shield. He is your provider. He is your security. He keeps you, all right? And you are kept. You are blessed. You are helped. And you are never, ever stranded. Glory to God. See you tomorrow.